hundreds and hundreds of prophecies and promises throughout the Old Testament.
Good morning.
We're reiterating who he was and what he was about.
Riding on a colt.
We almost forgot to record. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're discussing it and stepping in farther into when God is silent or question mark is he?
And yeah. God's yes has to be reinforced and encouraged in our
reiterated.
Lives.
Yeah. Reiterate is good. And
yeah.
Steve, do you want to repeat what you said? Because I thought it was very well pert.
Great. Can you remember?
having some timers. No. We need to view Jesus as not starting at the New Testament, but he has no beginning. And so all the prophecies and the testimonies and the references to him throughout even the Old Testament were promises of who he was and who he was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And with that, we have to keep him in the position of man.
Mm-hmm.
At some point in time, he had to engage his scroll. He had to figure out the buttons of learning and encouragement and encounter. He had to do everything that we're doing.
Yeah.
100%. And he did it without whining. Ooh.
But that really is a big one.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But I'm really blessed that if we whine and we whine to the Lord, he's so compassionate.
Isn't he?
And he covers the whine and he literally brings you out of the whine into joy and thankfulness and...
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're really whining with a humble heart, I mean,
you're the wine and he's the bread.
Absolutely. So I continue to write. Heaven's absolute. So your promise is absolute. Heaven's absolute is what, why, how, and with continued encouragement through relationship. That is what I really need to hear. That continued. I need him to tell me what is absolute over and over and over and over and over and over. And when I struggle or when I whine in communion with him, then he comes around and he says, you need encouragement. Here, I can encourage you. I can reinforce you. I can reiterate. So, then this morning while writing, ascended before him, I did a search on God being silent. Pulled up all the verses, read them, and found they were bent towards man's opinion of punishment. Or, as David said a couple times in his Psalms, God, do not be silent. And overall hue, they were focused on man's frailties. And they were also found under the law. So that would be why they would be more punitive. So, outside of my first impromptu response, I thought I would check in with you, Father. You know, go ask, well, was I right? Was I, you know, what was, you know? And so I double-checked my heart, mindsets to seek out the truth. So that's putting yourself, pressing in to allow him, having that teachable heart, let him double-check your heart, check mindsets. Oh, is this a learned response? Is this a generational response? You know, and seek out truth, because many times truth has been revealed that was totally different. So, and then I, muttering in my head, I thought, how can you be silent? God be silent. If he lives inside of me, I live inside of him. Hearts beat and the body makes noise in its ebb and flow of functionality. Holding hands maybe without words, but touch speaks loudly. Actions communicate 1,000 words, and if all heaven declares the glories of God, then my ear turns to hear the decree. Amen? Hey, heaven is anything but silent. So, I heard, and then I responded. Oh, that's a good question. So God asked me if I'm silent towards him at times. I said yes. Also, he asked me, why are you silent with me? Because I don't understand. Something is difficult. Frustration leads my intentions. Now, one of this was a learned response or a learned mindset that was embedded. So in my memory, the silent treatment, which I hated when my parent responded in this way to me, it was punitive, separating, and disconnecting. Even though I know that I exasperated my parent, that was the reason for the response. But it was still, that came up, that mindset. There's a learned response, and I go, that silent treatment. I went, God doesn't do that. He doesn't throw his hands up in the air and say, I've had it with you. And then choose not to talk. Thank goodness. But I'll go back. So, his question to me, why are you silent, Kristen? Because I don't understand. Something is difficult or frustration leads my intentions. You guys have anything else that you think should be added to that?
Well, sometimes I just forget to remember because I'm so busy.
Oh.
And I realize I didn't address him. And he's been actually, or I feel like we've been working on that. It's like, this sounds so silly. But, you know, I've been having trouble sometimes opening jars and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just say, I really need help opening jars. The angels you've assigned me, will you help me? And then the jar will open. So to me, that's, I just am kind of, I have a way of just going, this is what I got to get done. And that's, see, God wants me to include him in everything. And I know that he's there. It's not like I don't know he's there. It's just I forget to remember to just say, oh, and thank you for helping me with this. And thank you for helping me with that. So that, to me, is a... that's probably a mindset in some ways that, well, can't you just do it yourself? Maybe as I grew up, you know, I didn't ask a lot of times in my parenting. I observed, I learned from watching. Mm-hmm. So my mom was a good asker, but I didn't ask because it seemed to frustrate my dad.
Mm.
So, you know, it's all probably interconnected, but I think a lot of times I just forget to remember because I'm on task. And so that's kind of cool that God's been helping me to remember and just
that's
talk.
Good.
Yeah.
Thank you, angels, for opening jars.
Yeah. I know it sounds so silly, but it's really frustrating.
Starting lawnmowers.
Yeah. It's really over mine every time.
Yeah.
And you know, my mom prayed over appliances, and I thought, well, did she, and I know part of hers was because she thought Dad would get angry if something broke.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe she had the instinct in her spirit that stuff that we had wasn't supposed to wear out.
Yeah.
Because that would be in our spirit too.
Sure. That's great.
Yes, same.
Anybody else have something you want to add? So at times, maybe you never are, but I mean, I have been. What would cause us to be silent towards God? I can actually say that it's I'm responding to be punitive to him. I've done that before. I'm not going to talk to you because I'm not pleased.
I think there's a degree of arrogance in that our understanding is perfect enough for the situation.
Yeah.
So why ask God? Because my understanding already takes care of it.
Okay, shall we all get on our face right now and repent?
Yeah. I yell. I don't go silent. If I don't understand, I'm going, hello, come on, you know this. I need to know this. Yeah. I mean, I just yell at him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I yell in that relationship, not that I'm greater than he is, and he needs to tell me.
Yeah.
But in relationship, because I'm frustrated because I'm not getting an answer or whatever, and so, but when I yell, I say, okay, I know that I'm probably blocking somehow, so what's wrong here? I don't like this. I don't look like you, or I'd be hearing, you know, so I just, that's how I do it.
Uh-huh. I think that's healthy. Mm-hmm. I think that's healthy.
Mm-hmm. That's what David did mm-hmm. throughout the whole mm-hmm. Psalms.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference in your heart to me.
Mm-hmm.
Between yelling out of arrogance or
not
whatever,
even talking out of arrogance,
right, or not even talking out of arrogance, but and yelling because you literally want to have his answer be in the situation instead of what you can come up with, and I try really hard not to be, you know, disrespectful and all that other stuff. I just am passionate and need to know.
Yeah. Well, I can think of one more for the list. Being in sin.
Uh-huh. What do you mean by that?
Something you knowingly know is wrong?
Yeah. And right. And so not.
So you're silent. Yeah. You don't talk to him about it.
Wanting to.
If you,
God. Yeah.
Because if you hide, he won't see it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm just, you know, opening up to the relationship.
So would that be that you would be functioning in guilt and shame, which is would
probably
be under the law?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Lord, can I find a big enough rock?
And then before Steve gave it different words, I had the, you know, thought operating in your own strength, but that really is arrogance at the root of it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, I can do that. I've got it. Yeah, I spent years it that way.
Me too.
I've got it. And I remember one day I just blew up at the kids, sent them to their room, and I get this phone call. It's like, Johan, I don't know what you're doing right now or whatever, but you need to take a breath. And you need to just take a deep breath, and it went on to, you know, you need to get with the Lord. And she just hit the nail on the head, you know, operating in your own strength, and you need to get strength from God. Oh my God.
Well, and in the atmosphere we hear this. God helps them who helps themselves, but I've always said God helps those who want his help and need it and recognize. And that to me was a fallacy, but you know, as I was just saying, I forget to remember.
Yeah.
It's the same idea if I'm not asking for help when I need, because I think this I can cover.
Yeah,
see, so that's how it still influences us.
Or can. Because that's a distortion of a principle in the Bible.
It's absolutely
not really. Yeah,
absolutely.
Just like everybody thinks God in this. And is next to cleanliness or whatever.
Oh,
that
yeah,
is.
There's all those.
God always helps.
Those are wives' tales. They get called.
Okay,
so there's other times. So other times regarding the that word being silent, whether it's me, whatever. It says, other times I do choose to be silent. So within his company, in contemplation or just being, no words are necessary. This silence is filled with confidence, and the close together moment we are experiencing does not require any words to embellish its beauty. I can hear God loudly. So that is totally a different kind of, because love, you can just feel the wavelength of his love when you're just being.
Lately, I've had the picture to me come in about how John, the disciple, would lay his head on Jesus' shoulder. And when I'm feeling overwhelmed or anxious, I see myself and I just lay my head on his shoulder because I know how much he loves me. And that just kind of brings that calmness again to my inner being.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's easy to be silent.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different.
That's good. So she just runs right through her gateway of imagination and ends up right there in the breast of her Lord. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Yeah, and in the breast of the Lord is the rest of the Lord.
There, yeah, I like there. That. Say that one more time.
In the breast of the Lord is the rest of the Lord.
That's good. Never heard that one before. So I'm going to throw out some other perceptions. His Hebrew living letters. So if you were to, his letters are alive and they're very pictorial, numerical, wavelength, color, everything. Mm. So his Hebrew letters speak in many languages. Because, you know, it can be numerical, it can be number, it can be flip it over, wow, and it's a whole nother one. Yeah. So they communicate a picture holding 1,000 words. Mm. They really do.
Yeah.
Just in the position that you put the different Hebrew letters, it totally changes the inflection of the word. They do sing a color that one must immerse themselves within it to unravel the melody. They do sing a color, you know, sing. There's two functions there. Hearing it. So they move in emotion with hidden sound waves of love. Because there are sound waves and frequencies, just like our radio waves or television waves, that come from his living word, that are in the air, in the atmosphere. Carried by angels, carried by his living letters, carried by the beings of heaven. Or feel the refreshing of dew under one's feet while walking with God in the cool of the morning. If I look to see his footsteps imprinted on the grass, also look and behold creation bowing in honor. You will never miss the evidence of his spirit made manifest. So right there, just in that phrase, you can think about walking with God in the cool, feeling the cool underneath your feet, but curiosity all of a sudden went, yeah, oh, look, and you could see his imprint in the grass. And then to think further and go, creation would be bowing in its own way. Or the rocks would be crying out. Should we tune our ears to hear them?
So I got to backtrack a second. So your mention of the Hebrew language.
Yes.
That was as an avenue of connecting with God?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. The Hebrew language, the letters are actually living.
Okay.
So they were living beings that God spoke into creation, and then it was able to be communicated through writing. And that's why the letters are alive. Even if you look, the letter can be pictorial, it could be numerical, it could be a color, it could be a frequency. And so that gets the live part in the writing of it. But it's because they are alive. I've had encounters where they've literally been swirling around me. Or one has come into the room, like Dalit came into the room, and I wrote, okay, now what do we do?
Yeah, I haven't had encounters like that, but I do remember the one time on your back porch a couple years ago now when Susan had a headache or something and we were praying for you. And I saw literally as like letters flying off your, would that be her destiny scroll or her, mm-hmm. there was a page of letters and there's some that weren't supposed to be there and we prayed and they flew off.
Yeah.
That's the closest thing I've had to understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're definitely, So silence or silent is he really making no sound? Is he really quiet? Being still or refraining from speaking?
No. And this is a rabbit trail in the natural, what I know in the natural, how there's sounds out there that we can't even hear.
like elephants, mm-hmm. they can hear things, and they can hear things a mile away. Elephants.
Oh, and those big ears. Yeah. They have a purpose.
They hear a frequency that is, we can't.
They also yeah. feel through their feet.
Their feet, yeah, right. they can feel mm-hmm. it.
Do they really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But elephants yeah, but there's amazing. Sounds going on that we just can't even hear.
They stomp their mm-hmm. feet.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, the best example is the dog whistle. Mm-hmm. I've always thought about, you know, how the dogs can hear certain sounds we can't. And I remember just talking to God a lot of times, and I still haven't heard it, but that I'll hear higher sounds and higher frequencies that I've ever been able to hear, and that people and angels yeah. sing those frequencies, and it's wow. exciting to me. I mean, it's like, yeah, that floats my boat.
Yeah,
you know?
Only see a small portion of the mm-hmm. wavelength spectrum, and we only hear a small portion of the sound mm-hmm. spectrum.
Yeah.
That's because we're listening in the realm of the earth
yeah.
instead of training us to go be seated and listening in the realm of spirit, and then from the realm of spirit then there would be the realm of the light of light. So in each one you have to develop so that you have learned how to communicate. And I mean, it does. It feels like you're an infant going to a toddler all over again, but it's the same. There is no fast track. It's just plain old learning Him, learning heaven, learning Jesus' scroll. That's why we gather. That's why we're us. So, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, right? So I opened up the Mirror Bible, which I absolutely love. It is clear then that faith's source is found in the content of the message heard. The message is Christ.
Can you read that again?
Mm-hmm. And this is the Mirror's translation.
Faith's source.
Okay. Yeah. It is clear then. That faith's source is found in the content of the message heard. The message is Christ. So, if you take a promise, that's the message, that's the content. It's found in the content of the message heard. So, the message heard is your promise. The content is constantly unpacking it, constantly being encouraged and reiterated and reinforced to that message. We are God's audience. Jesus is God's language. Faith comes out of the word that reveals Christ. There's a whole bunch more in that if you guys go to the blog. Oh, I'm going to read the end part of it. So, righteousness by His, God's faith, defines life. Has God not given humanity a fair chance to hear? Psalm 19 says, His words touch the entire world like the rays of the sun. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Yes, truly their resonance resounded in all the earth, and their voice unto the ends of the earth. Romans 10:17 from the Mirror. So God has given humanity a fair chance to hear.
Did you also just quote Psalm 19? Mm-hmm. Before Romans? Was that Psalm 19 in there?
Not according to his notes.
Okay.
But, yeah. So I thought, after I process this, I talked to God about it, about what we discussed, I think a better request might be at hand. That faith is the key to the coming of hearing. So hearing is very much alive as well. And the need for us is really continual reassurance. What we hear, see, feel, perceive, Him declaring. He never stops declaring the promise over our life.
Faith is the key to the hearing of
God. Yeah. So faith is the key to the coming of hearing. If you take the promise, faith constantly gets you coming back to the content of the promise. And therefore, when it's reassured, then faith is constantly kept activated through the reassurance, through the reiteration. Your faith keeps on going, can keep charging with the promise.
So, could it be that the promise, and I know this is kind of huge, because there's little promises that come around, but could the promise be your scroll? The promise is your scroll. You learn what's on your scroll, because we may not be perfect in alignment with our scroll, so the promise is our scroll. And as we walk, learn, try to understand what's on our scroll, we are literally being in faith. That's the key. As we walk, the continuing to move onto our scroll, that's the faith that brings in the hearing, that brings in the encouragement, that brings in for us to keep walking on the scroll. Mm-hmm. Could that be another way to view it?
Mm-hmm.
I also have examples of little promises that have been promised to me over certain things and that I'm not walking in or are not being walked in. Yeah, I get that. But then I saw it as bigger, that the literal promise is the scroll.
Mm-hmm. So as you were saying that, I saw this word picture. I'm going to use horse language. Susan's life. So if she bought a young foal and she just knew in her spirit, this foal is going to be a champion. Mm-hmm. This foal is going to be a champion. But she'd have to connect and spend time with the foal over the course of its life. It's possible it could be a champion at a 2-year-old, or it could be possible it won't be a champion till it's a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what it, you know, what it is, the area. But she is going to have to come into community with this horse for it to become a champion. She can't just leave it out in the pasture.
She's going to have to train it up in the way that it should go.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And so I heard that's the word picture I saw when you were talking, Susan, that when we engage with our scroll, then we kind of see, oh, well, you really think that about me. And yeah, here I am. Well, I better get to training up over here so that I can meet up with what God's glory has said about me.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I saw it, is you see glimpses of your scroll, or he gives you a promise. He gives you a promise.
Uh-huh.
And then you train up in the way that you should go to get in alignment.
Yeah. It's kind of like me taking 20 years to write a book. I always knew. I saw the book, engaged the book, saw the book. But at some point in time, Kristen has to get with the little fingers and they got to type it out. I mean, and I had to encourage myself and believe Him in me and walk through that for the book to come.
Well, and
to pass.
He encouraged you.
Yes.
I mean, He gave you the ink.
Yeah.
There's many encouragements along the way.
Absolutely.
Or reiterating the fact that that's on your scroll. So.
Yeah. So I think with me, I don't know whether I was engaging prematurely, but I think I was engaging with my scroll, not knowing it, and also only with earthly authority only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, So that does make sense. It's,
yes.
I was doing it only with earthly authority. Mm-hmm. And so now my challenge is to reapproach,
yeah,
and reengage,
mm-hmm,
from,
mm-hmm,
that heavenly authority.
Yeah. Yeah. Which will bring the promise to pass,
yeah,
in a heavenly or spiritual way, as opposed to just coming to a place in the earthly.
Yeah, where it had limited.
Right, limited,
yeah,
where this is unlimited.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to use my book, an example, is exactly what you said, which is a really good point. It's like, I knew that portion about my scroll. I didn't know it was scroll. I just knew it was a promise,
mm-hmm,
that I was supposed to write. From an earthly perspective, it took so long because I had no understanding of how to change basically my DNA, because there were some things hindering me in my DNA that hindered me from actually
writing.
Hmm. So that was from, I knew it was from God, but you're right, there was an, I wasn't seated in heavenly places. So from an earthly perspective, I didn't know how to change those negative responses that were working in my life. That's the word picture I saw from what you just said. That was a very good point. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of what I had said here, so, and then we can understand David's psalm. Lord, do not be silent. It means, it's like what Susan was saying earlier. It's like, I need to hear you talk. Please keep talking. Don't ever stop talking. Don't be silent. So I made a fun little doodad that's a little drop down if you go to the... I made a pretty little doodad. You may engage with it in worship. You may just fold it and tuck it and put it in your back pocket to talk with it with the Lord. But it's very important that, again, that we be prolific in the wonderful things that he's teaching us and how to troubleshoot our own lives. And if you guys ever think of another word besides troubleshoot, you know, let's have this. But, you know, when we troubleshoot means we know how to employ the blood. We know how to employ the throne of grace. We know how to come before the courts of heaven. We know how to function and proceed through and follow through a mandate. Because of that, we know how to release the angels and continue to communicate with them. I mean, those are all troubleshooting things. Thus, so far, the Lord in his goodness has allowed us to learn and has taught us, and we've been engaging them, practicing in them. Those are all things. So if we get to a point of where we feel stuck, he's taught us how to unstuck ourselves, whether it's within us, whether it's in our soulish realm, our emotions, or if actually it is the enemy that's doing something in the atmosphere. There's so many things that he has taught us on how to be a warrior. And I know that there's going to be a bajillion more. I'm so thankful for those learnings. I'm so thankful to when a problem comes that I feel like I can really do something about it. I like the title of my little piece of paper. Simply Clearing Away Any Hindrances Prayer.
Oh.
Yes.
Hmm.
Anybody, I'm going to let somebody else just read through this out loud. Anybody who would like to, just.
I'd like to.
Okay.
Live in love. Father, I step into you through Jesus Christ and find myself in your manifest presence. Holy Spirit, I invite you to search my heart. And I listen. I perceive through my sanctified imagination, feelings, pictures, words, and unction. I ask forgiveness for partnering with. And I ask that you remove any iniquity rooted in this issue from my life. Selah. Selah. And I hear, see, perceive him blotting out the record. I give him thanks. And I decree freedom.
Mm-hmm. And just highlight in the last year, that part of perceiving him blotting out the record has become huge in my life. Very huge. I know that I'm forgiven, and I've taken an issue and gone through the courts of heaven, and he's given me a resolve. But to actually hear, see, perceive him blotting out the record it makes me brave. It's blotted out. And he communicates it in such unique and personal ways to each one of us. Thank you, Faria. I have a couple other questions regarding staying encouraged. Daily communion. So I got a question. Why daily?
Lots of reasons. His mercies are new every morning. Bread is fresh daily. We need to fresh bread daily, or it gets old, stagnant. We walk by faith. We walk daily. It's just.
It's another day.
Bread is most nutritious on a daily basis.
It's now. It's not past and there's no present. It's now. And if you did it yesterday, that's gone. Mm. Today, it's now.
Yeah.
It's a need now.
It's even in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a command.
Eating of his body and drinking of his blood daily. It's knowing, it's for healing, it's for all those things to me. Mm-hmm. It's setting my course again, just in case I forgot to remember, or I had something during the night that came up and it was confusing to me, or something. So I've been really trying to practice daily, Joe knows that, just communion, to be so aware. Mm-hmm. It just helps me to be so aware that he's always with me. I've already died with him. I've already rose with him. I'm already alive with him.
And keeping short accounts.
Yeah, that's she's true. Daily. She's read my paper.
I don't know. To me, I think of it as just reconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for me, I sleep 10 hours. And so you wake up in the morning and that's sort of the time to reconnect with him through communion,
mm-hmm.
and start afresh. So I think of it more as friendship, mm-hmm. and relationship,
yeah.
first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. That was my next question. What is communion? It's what Julia said.
Mm-hmm. In communion is union.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're just rolling with those today.
Yes.
She's a holy rapper.
She's a holy rapper.
Oh, my goodness.
And Sandy kind of pulled on this. It is the conversation of remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Jesus said, you know, to do this in remembrance of me. So it is a conversation of remembrance. And I always loved it. So if you remembrance means that there's a memory. That's how you can remember. Because it's already been a memory. And I already figured out that, well, just because I don't have cognitive of a memory and you want to remember it, that means, okay, take me to the memory. Yeah. Which has to do with the timeline. So take me to the memory if you want me to remember it. Yay.
Well, and there's something else in that. You know, we might have had a memory and kind of went back to that point and we thought we took complete care of it. And then all of a sudden, you wake up and you've had another refreshing memory of that, and there's something else that you see that you can take care of, and that just helps to recognize that we are in community, that that's how much our Father really does love us, that it's so oneness. You know, that's what oneness is. Well, to me, when I my body sleeps, it may not really be aware of everything. Maybe my soul's sleeping, but I already know my spirit's always awake with him. So therefore, I'm resetting, in a sense, the gears that were kind of sleeping the night before into the presence of the Lord now, if that kind of clicks. And no, I can't say it again. It just kind of is there, and I know that's, I can, it's hard for me to express the things that go on in me, but I'm just grateful.
So a couple of you, will somebody grab John 15:11, and then somebody grab John 15:7, did anyone bring their Bibles? I know we, yeah, if you have them handy, I'm going to read it out of the message too. So one is 15:11, one is 15:7. So you're right. So the cross, these are all ways of staying encouraged. The cross. What is at the cross? What is at the cross? Our freedom, our deliverance, our humanity, our humility, our change, our transformation. And again, as Sandy said, the resurrection. What is at the resurrection? What is at our resurrection? Because we have been risen with him as much as we've been dead in Christ. And how does that change our communion? To connect with the ministry of Jesus being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
What was that last question?
Okay. How does that change our communion with the different place that Jesus is at now? Oh. He's no longer hanging, bruised, bleeding. Mm-hmm. Right. He's not there anymore. How does that change our communion when we enter and know him as King?
Then we enter into all things pertaining to life. And that verse in
life and godliness.
Life and godliness.
Absolutely.
Entering into all things.
Right.
But we co-reign.
Yes.
Now we're with, we're on the mission to complete his scroll. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're with him to draw humanity in. Mm-hmm.
Jesus is now teaching us how his ministry or his scroll was completed and empowered. And through relationship, how we make his knowing, is that what I wrote? I can't read my own right. Oh, and how we make his enemies his footstool in the restoration of all things. Mm-hmm. Who's got John 15:11?
Sandy.
You have it? Okay. I probably have there. Oh, well, look. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be in you.
11.
Mm-hmm. Can I? I'm going to read that quickly.
Please,
in the mirror.
I know this is kind of.
But no, that's good because we're familiar. A lot of those familiar ever help me with the word familiarities calm. Okay, where's 11? Where'd you go?
Chapter 10.
I know. Okay. So, from the Mere Bible, it says, I've spoken these things unto you so that my joy will continuously infuse you. There's our encouragement. You don't have to invent your own if you can tap into mine. This is the ultimate bliss.
His words are spirit and life, and that life of his word contains his joy.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's his life.
Yes.
You're tapping into his life.
Mm-hmm. There's life.
Yes.
You want to read 15:7?
If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you.
Mm-hmm. And again, from the word, mm-hmm. from the mirror. Mm-hmm. My words find a voice in you. Mm-hmm. With your abiding in me and my words abiding in you, a conversation is inspired where you will request that which arises in your desire from our union, and it shall come to pass.
Yeah.
See the importance of our of our communion, of our reassurance, of our reiteration, and being encouraged. Let me read this again. My words find voice in you.
Yeah.
With your abiding in me and my words abiding in you, a conversation is inspired where you will request that which arises in your desire from our union, and it shall come to pass for you.
I had an epiphany about that once, reading Psalm 29, because I used to always picture, you know, the voice of the Lord, but it was just the voice of the Lord out there, voice of the Lord from heaven, the epiphany I had was the voice of the Lord through us.
Yes.
Through, like, what the mirror just said. Yes. His word finds, his voice finds expression in us or through us.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what he's looking for, his voice on earth through us, and how powerful it is as written in Psalm 29. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa.
I'm going to read it one more time.
Yeah.
My words find voice in you. With your abiding in me and my words abiding in you, a conversation is inspired where you will request that which arises in your desire from our union. So desire is present on the inside of you because it arises from our union, and it shall come to pass for you. Good.
Wow.
Yes. So that joy, again, he's given us some, just the reminder. Reminder. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us of that encouragement. That we come in and reassure ourselves and be reiterated to their promises, which are absolute.
Yay. So I have a testimony. Like over my house, when we first moved into the house, as Steve knows especially, there was a lot of concerns over our house and all this potential stuff. But I exercised what that scripture just said, and I spoke over my home, and I spoke and I spoke. And so just one small testimony, the issue about the slanting driveway. Where all the water was just looked like it was just going to come into the against the house and all that concern. Well, I've been taking note at it from the backside of the driveway. It comes in and then it does a U-turn and it goes back out instead of going against the house where by all, it just looked like that's what was going to do, but it goes in and it comes out. Yeah. And I mean, I just spoke it over that my house is protected.
That's right.
This house is blessed. These trees are blessed. And it's just been, I need to get back to it, but.
Amen.
I've done the same thing with our perspective. Our perspective, where we're
going, where you're going.
I had been going in as light and in between the walls where there might be moisture and actually releasing light to kill anything that would grow.
Yeah, okay, I will do that too.
And to dry it out, because light is pretty powerful.
Yes, thank you.
And so I've been going in already to start the repairing of...
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, thank you for that reminder.
Light goes in, it can kill any kind of a spore.
And in the natural, we have that we're already reflecting that in the natural. Last time I had it, they held light in there to dry my tooth when I had one of those white fillings instead of a...
Yeah.
And it was light, because I always ask questions when I go to the doctor or whatever and learn something new. I said, no, this is new technology, we're using light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before I sit at the piano and we engage his goodness even more so, I had an interesting experience this morning. And so I was asking, because I have been introduced with the house angels, right? And I know the house angel that's there, and his name's Jeremy. And so I asked the Lord, I go, because Myrna, who's here in this house, I mean, anytime that there's a she does a really good job with the trees and, now she's I'm just continuing to engage her, but I just went, well, I'd really like to see a little bit more. What is it that they're doing? You ever guys wonder what they're doing? What is their plan? What does it look like? And I just got quiet for a little bit. I go, just to allow myself to rest, I'd really like to know, because again, it brings encouragement what they're doing. And then all of a sudden I saw Jeremy, and he just looked like this super organized scribe guy, right? And he had set a table. There were 20 tables in front of the house, 20 tables in front of the house. And I knew each table referred to a year. And on the first table, it was totally covered with things and resources. And then as we went out, there was resources. And as I could see out the 20, then there were less resources out here because that's why I'm always telling myself to decree farther out. But I just went, oh my gosh, you've been busy. And when I say resources, this was his way of keeping things, she needs to engage with this. They need to engage with this. I've already got this prepared here, So I just went, that was so encouraging. First of all, see how organized that he was. And that there were things already on the table that he has prepared for us to walk into. And it's because I asked. I said, Lord, I'd really like to know more. And just was quiet.
I think I want to read Psalm 8.
Oh, please do.
And then I have a question.
This came up to me, and I haven't remembered this for eons to me.
Yes.
And it's the main little section is that when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? For thou hast made him just a little lower than himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he has crowned him with glory and honor. That's us. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. All things.
Mm-hmm.
And
and that's you know, that's huge. And that's what we're kind of saying today, and we're discovering more and more and more. And this was a young thing for me, when, and I got to sing it, you know, these words with a huge group of people.
Thank you. So my request here was simply, let me know what the work of your hands is doing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And see, Jesus knows. He's all, we're just like him.
Yeah.
We're just, you know, we're here to know and ask the angels what they're doing. Right here, this, in this plane, as well as whatever we have to say, the one to come.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it kind of struck me.
So my question is, for when I was sending forth blessings on my pathway, you know, and in my future pathway, mm-hmm. down the road pathway, was I unknowingly engaging, sending forth angels? When I'm asking for, when I'm decreeing blessings on my pathway, was I inadvertently putting angels to work?
I know. Were okay. you?
I'm supposing so.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were decreed, so yeah. They go on your word like they would have on Jesus' word,
yes.
right?
Uh-huh.
Hmm. That's why we've got to be really careful with our words.
Yeah.
That's part of why. Because what if we're cursing ourselves down?
And you said
road?
You were silly earlier.
Yeah, you're sending forth blessing, and the more that we continue to be taught of the Lord, we're being taught Holy Spirit is teaching us, and we gather together and we are simply putting on the table what he's taught us and sharing our bread together.
Mm.
We're sharing our bread together. We're having communion and fellowshipping and sharing our bread together of what he is has taught us. And the more we understand, the more we're connected to the blessing, and we realize what it is that's out there, and that reassures us. Because we have intimate knowledge
okay.
of it.
I didn't capture that.
Yeah.